Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
Okay, now we've been pretty consistent this season so far, so I'm not going to mention how regular we've been. But yes, we're probably going to be on a break for a couple of weeks, so we felt we needed to have a bit of a podcast now so that we could talk. Now, it's been an eventful week. We went through the transfer window and everybody's position. Since then, things have happened. Chelsea, what do you do? They've played poorly against Arsenal, and Arsenal played well.
Yes, Arsenal did play well.
I think Chelsea also, they seemed something wrong with their tactics. Like, their players were tired, and I think defensively that's a problem. Like,
there's
not enough depth in that defence.
No, I think that's definitely it. I don't know, we had a great start. We had 3 from 3, first 3 games, blitzed it. And then we went to Swansea, a bit of a trip up, 2-2 draw. Mm. There was some rather questionable refereeing decisions in that game. Mm-hmm. Specifically, the 2 Swansea goals were directly from very questionable refereeing decisions, mm-hmm. which is a bit of a pity. But it seems then we played Liverpool and Arsenal, and yeah, just haven't looked good in either of those games.
No. Liverpool and Arsenal both played fantastically well. Yeah. But I think what I would be worried if I were a Chelsea fan is, while Conte is a good manager and good tactically, he's got very little in the way of resource in his defence. And the Chelsea board have not backed him. And okay, they got David Luiz. I don't think that was the player that... David Luiz 4 or 5 years ago is the kind of player that Conte needs, not the David Luiz now. And it would be fine to get a David Luiz now if they had another player Bonucci, or that mold of player in the squad, because David Luiz would be a fine squad defender or squad player because he's very versatile. But that defense is clearly very tired and overwhelmed. And
well, that was last year as well. That was the rot that was last year. The defense from the 2 years ago, basically, you know, up to last year, that defense had held together and not leaked goals at all. Like, they were the tightest defense for, I think, about 3 years running.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, we, I think, conceded like 3 or 4 or 5 times the goals we had in the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, started okay. Still a little shaky. We were still letting in goals, but it wasn't too bad. But yeah, now it's just the legs on the players are just tired. They're old, you know. You've got 34, 35-ish year olds. Even Luiz isn't that young. He's 29 or 30 or something like that. There's just not a lot of youth or young legs in there, and so I think it's just not keeping up with the fast strikers. So when there's got someone that's got even a little bit amount of speed to get in behind or run in the defence,
or a side that can pass well and like presses hard. Arsenal and Liverpool, both sides like to press the ball hard. When they lose the ball, they like to generate mistakes, and they have players that are quick enough to take advantage. And I shudder to think what Man City would do to Chelsea. Liverpool and Arsenal are probably nowhere near as good as City. But even a team like Leicester, with their hard-pressing style and fast strikers,
we've got Leicester in 2 weeks' time. We've got Hull this weekend, and then Leicester the following week. So that could get...
And even Hull have shown some solidity, and their strikers have been doing well enough. Their defence, once again, similar to Chelsea, are not the best, but they do like to play that one-touch football and try and pass the ball quickly. So Chelsea has not got an easy game against Hull, and Hull would fancy taking a point against them at least, I think.
Yeah, it could be interesting. We do have a few weeks till we face the really hard test of City. They're not till the beginning of December.
Yep.
But we do have Hull, then Leicester, then United, then Southampton, then Everton, then Middlesbrough, then Spurs before we head off to City.
So a string of very difficult games coming up.
Yeah, there's a string of reasonably difficult games. I think there's a few.
Everton are in form. Southampton have been showing good form. Middlesbrough, okay, maybe. Yeah. But even
they're showing good form. There's a splashing of tough fixtures, and a splashing of fixtures we can turn it around. We can get everything sorted in that. Like, Hull's one of them this week.
Yeah.
I think Hull's one that we could...
But it's almost a game you need to win.
Or we need to win.
Not necessarily convincing, even like...
Confidence-boosting win. It's got to be one where they play well and everything sort of clicks. Even if all the little bits don't quite gel well, but overall things are clicking and things are working.
As long as Chelsea are clearly the better team, even if they don't quite play to their best and beat Hull...
I think even if they're they're playing under par and not really quite there. As long as it's all sort of working together and it's not even a scrappy win is okay, as long as it's a sort of confidence boosting win. You know, it's one where they spend, and it's something that does sap Chelsea a bit, I think, sometimes. One where they spend like 70% of the time basically on attack, shots after shots, but the pass after pass, and the shots are poor or wide or easily defended, and it's everything's sort of held up, especially when you're playing against a side that just parks the bus type mentality.
And
Chelsea is very frustrated by that sometimes.
And what they really don't want is to sap a lot of energy, spending a lot of time attacking Hull and then getting done on the counter-attack.
Yeah, exactly.
Where, like, Hull wastes very little energy, defends compactly, runs around very little, and then quick loose ball and boom.
Yeah, exactly.
That being said, and I think it's also affecting the attack, like, because the midfielders like Kante just have to do too much work in defense be a real box-to-box midfielder. He's forced to become a shield, and let's be honest, Matic is giving him no support.
No. Well,
and the attack is just, they're not getting the ball, and Fabregas just has to, you know, he's kind of in this nowhere man zone. Like, yes, he's not been in the best of form, but can't go up and attack when he knows their defense is so leaky and they're pressing so hard on them with the ball, he's getting no backup because... Well, Kante and Co. And Matic are not able to confidently walk up behind him and get those passes.
Yeah, exactly.
And your Eden Hazards, at the best of time, are not going to be the kind of players that run back to help your defence.
Well, he does enough of that to do his thing, but that's not what he's there for. He's there for running at other defences, breaking them apart, and that brilliance that wins games.
Chelsea are going to be very dependent on Diego Costa.
Yeah.
Winning loose balls, doing his Diego Costa thing, where he presses defenders who have the ball and get generates those attacking positions for Hazard and Co to get goals off. But if they manage to quiet him down or make him lose his temper, and
easy with Costa,
it can go play against Chelsea. So I'm not sure it's all doom and gloom. There's definitely a lot of room. I just feel like it's weird because Chelsea have Morales playing at another club. They have so many other young defenders who are playing at other clubs. Why did... I don't know if Conte, first of all, had a say in this, which he may not have had.
Maybe not. He might have had a small say in it, but not enough to... it may have been, you got these choices, you've got to choose, like, two out of these ones, and everybody else goes.
Yeah, like,
or
obviously...
he might have been promised that, yes, we give you enough money to buy a star young defender so all the other young defenders can go off on loan because they're not good enough to be star Chelsea defenders yet. So
we all know that the wage book needs balancing, so that may have just been what had to happen for Chelsea. Because not necessarily because of a money thing, but because of FFP considerations.
Yeah.
So we obviously, not knowing the inner workings, we can't tell why, but obviously that's a decision I think they might rue. Unless they can get those players back in January, if they want them back.
I think in January you'll see once again a bit of another push for buying in a couple of young defenders. There's definitely ones on the radar, and I think it'll just be a renewed push for some of those and to see where it is. So it may have just been that over this transfer window that is concentrated in the wrong places when trying to get it and didn't get the ones they wanted.
They concentrated in the wrong places. They needed to get the midfielders that they got. Yeah.
What I mean is that they needed defenders. Maybe the defenders they concentrated on and really pushed to get ended up being the ones that went, no, we can't, we're not going anywhere. And there were might have been others that they could have concentrated on better that were still on the radar. It would have come, you know, and that be the change in January is like, well,
let's be honest, there's very little we actually know about how these deals are done in the back end. Like, obviously, we all play Football Manager, it doesn't work that way.
No.
So, it's easy to criticize from far away, Chelsea still have a good squad, but Conte has to be wary of doing the same mistakes Mourinho did last year. So, despite being a good manager with a team with good players, you can still... do poorly, as Mourinho has shown.
Exactly. He had a championship-winning squad, which he only really strengthened mostly.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really weakened from that, and they managed to go out and just blatantly lose everything.
So, now, but I think you're right. Chelsea need to win against Hull, and then really they do need to win against us, but that's going to be a tough game.
Yeah,
and losing to big clubs like Leicester City can... or they are now a big club. They are the champions. Losing to those teams that they're dropping points against them are going to count to get their position. Like this, it's not going to be easy for them to finish in the top four if they drop points against teams like Hull and Leicester.
And Leicester
is a 6-pointer for them.
Yes.
So it's definitely important. Like they've lost 2 6-pointers in theory against Liverpool and Arsenal.
And with Leicester and then United the week after, we've got two. We've got Hull this week and then another 2 6-pointers in a row coming up. So, and we pretty much do that again once we get to the Spurs City.
And Chelsea have to use... Weekends. Like, being tired is not something Chelsea should have. They should be using the advantage of not having European football, which Leicester, Arsenal, Liverpool and United all have to face. And so they don't even have that excuse of we've got a crowded fixture place, because Arsenal has a more crowded fixture and they can't even complain about not having enough players because Arsenal has less players and have more injuries.
As I say, Chelsea, especially in the Abramovich years, we've had like more players than we really need. Been the Chelsea way. We've always had quite a big squad. So, I mean, they can't really complain too much about tiredness.
No.
Might need a bit of rotation.
Yep.
But that's just what it needs to be.
And against Liverpool, you could also go, okay, fine, that was a one-off maybe. Brilliant night for Liverpool.
Yeah.
The stars aligned. But having it happen twice in a row is... worrying.
Yes, it's very worrying.
Like, lose, any team can lose 2 or 3 games in a row, and it's how you lose that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the season...
I think the last 3 games, Chelsea, it's got worse. That's part of the problem. Is they, against Swansea, they look good, and it's had a couple of bad luck moments. Oh, well, things, you drop points. You know, these things happen sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And against Liverpool, good in patches. Liverpool played wonderfully, deserved the win, got the win. And then against Arsenal, seemed to be the next step. I don't know whether Arsenal just happened, maybe, one of those
Arsenal
rare things.
Arsenal played
where,
very well. Let's not take anything away from them.
So maybe I say it was just one of those things. It was coming, it had to come eventually. I mean, it was the first time Arsenal's beaten us in, 10 Premier League fixtures.
Statistically, maybe that was what... But
just one of those things that had to happen eventually. So maybe it was just... Two weekends of stars aligning in a row that just
could be. But if the big teams think that all they have to do at Chelsea is attack and
just
throw
press,
bottle
yeah.
and press, and they're going to win games, then Chelsea are going to have problems.
They're going to have big problems because the problem
because
is
they all the big teams can set up a formation to press.
Yeah, and that was the lesson learned last year. And the problem being is that if the middle to lower teams learn from the from previous years as well, which is basically against Chelsea, park the bus for. A half and a half.
Yeah.
3 quarters of the match. And then Chelsea will get themselves frustrated and
start making mistakes and pressing them then.
And you start applying the pressure, you'll get the counter then Chelsea have huge problems. But
Chelsea are a team at the moment, I think, that struggle if they do not go ahead early.
Yes. And has sort of been that way for a while.
It's almost the opposite of like the Arsenal team of the early 2000s. Then Man United traditionally were going behind, almost revved up those teams. Played better when they were behind. Like, they found this extra gear when suddenly, like, they would start off games with, like, ah, yeah, whatever. And then, oh, wait, we're behind now. And then, how many last minute wins have you has United done over the years?
Too many.
And let's be honest, sometimes Arsenal would be dominating games, not getting a goal. And when the opposition got a goal against them, they would just be like, wait.
No,
it's serious. Yeah. And then they score four.
Yeah.
You know, and like, we'd seen them do that. And that's how it should...
I find that's very true. I find Chelsea, you're right, they saw the opposite. Not quite the opposite, but I think they try too hard. But if they get a goal down, there seems to be an upping of the tempo, an upping of the thing.
Yeah.
But it just seems to be trying too hard. People just seem to be... And it's too forced. Like, the United teams and games of that, and Arsenal, where they've done it, it's just one of those things. They click up and everything sort of flows more naturally, and you sort of see, like, well, before you guys were just like not really trying,
and
now you're actually
even
flowing.
Even if that wasn't true, there was a bit of it them that believed it, like they believed that they would win. Like, they had this divine right to expect a 90th minute goal or an injury time winner. They just thought that would happen.
It was, it's almost like they knew they were just the referee allowed them to play until they got the winner.
That was the fate, you know. But enough about Chelsea. I think
we're Chelsea enough.
Let's summarize it. Chelsea do have things to worry about. They have stuff that they can build on, and they have advantages over their rivals they need to take advantage of if they want to qualify for the Champions League.
And on the plus side, we are only 3 points behind the Champions League spots. So we're on 10 points. Liverpool's on 13. So not like we're miles behind. We're right on touch after six games. So.
Yeah, but Chelsea were in a similar position this time last year.
Yes.
So.